guys. Welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode. Well, one more episode away from 100-ish.
So what's this, 98, 99?
99. Oh, 98 damn. Was the Arthur Ashe pod.
Crazy.
Which, guys, if you have not checked that out,
please do.
We're in collaboration with the Arthur Ashe Legacy at UCLA. And throughout the year for Arthur Ashe's 50th anniversary of winning the Wimbledon title, we will be celebrating his legacy. So it's not just about his Wimbledon run, but just Arthur Ashe as a player, a man, and his contribution to tennis.
Which is huge.
Yeah, so the first episode was about him being one of the main founders. And I'm telling you that, like I said, the main founders of the ATP Tour. So please go and check that out. But yeah, Eugene, how are you?
I'm good, Lucy. Tired, as usual.
Exhausted.
We're pushing through. How are you?
I'm great. Very tired. I've been tired working on our TikTok, guys. Well, now, finally.
On TikTok.
Finally. I've been procrastinating for 2 years to get this done. Mainly because I'm people don't believe me, but I'm very shy. I'm extremely shy.
That's I think everyone knows that's a lie, but anyway.
No, like I said, no one believes me. But yeah, so being in front of that camera, yapping away, like
it's so just, natural.
You're saying that, but yeah, I know it's gonna be a time I'm gonna be natural, but yeah, but guys, go on our TikTok. It's not gonna be the same type of content, it's gonna be very different, and it's not just going to be Blackspin. Like focus going to be all tennis stuff and
a more general kind of
more general exactly and just getting more people into the sport. So yeah,
how did, just on that though, how did you find like putting that together? Because you did speak about, well, we spoke obviously off air about it's different to
it's
kind
different
because
doing... the thing is that each platform has their own algorithm, and the thing is TikTok is a lot more demanding, so we're already busy as hell trying to do this work and everything, but it's all about finding that right balance. And also I need to be realistic. I need to be like, I can't make every single content, which is my biggest problem. I think I can do everything.
You did a very good job though.
Thank you.
I was very like, well informed.
Yeah, I didn't say nothing to you. That's how nervous I am.
And I just posted it. It was a nice surprise because I was like, what the hell, like a comment on YouTube about what? But no, good job, man. But yeah, guys, look out for more TikTok content. I'm not going to say that I'll be doing any. I think it's just all going to be Lucy.
For now, so. But I'm definitely going to force it. Just for now.
But yeah, let's get into today's show. So we've been kind of... when was the last episode we recorded before Arthur Ashe? I can't actually remember.
I actually think it was...
Australian Open.
Australian Open, yeah.
Where we had Christian on.
Yep.
So shout out to not Christian. Too long.
Not too long. To be fair, we were supposed... We did organize to pod, I think, last week or the week before.
But we pushed back.
But we pushed back because, you know, it's been a very interesting post-Australian Open. It reminds me a bit of last year. Remember last year when I was like, it feels like a dull Q1? Mm. I don't want to say it feels like that because there's still been some exciting stuff, whether it was not even Blackspin stuff. For example, Mira and Driva winning. You know, I like seeing them new young people coming up.
Amanda and Nisimova.
And Amanda as well, especially with everything that she's been going through. So it wasn't, I can't explain it. Like, yeah, it was great, but it's just interesting how, like, after Australia Open, it goes... And I feel like it always happens. And as the tennis calendar, as tennis keeps on going throughout the years, I feel like it's like that. It's been interesting.
But we've had a few, tournament winners.
We
should start with Felix Auger-Aliassime, I think. So, yeah, he won his second title, actually, this year. So in Montpellier.
Yep.
He won in Adelaide before the Australian Open.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his second title of the year. He's the only player on the tour at the moment to win two titles, which is pretty good.
I like the fact that you mentioned that because, as we know, a lot of people like to chat. About Felix.
I was also looking at like his win to loss ratio this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's won 12 matches, lost 4.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
Like he's had a good start to the year.
Obviously,
Australia was a bit disappointing because he lost in the second round
to Fokino, that crazy match.
But it's been, I think, a really good start to the year.
For
Felix. Did you watch any of his run in Montpellier?
In Montpellier, a bit. I've actually been focusing a lot on Felix this year mainly because of the amount of times people were just chatting. So I was just like, okay, let me, you're going to be my focus. Even today, for instance, I watched his match against Bublik. It was very interesting. It was very, 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 especially that first set where he went to a tie break and Bublik like hit and I bet that ball kid feels some, I hope that ball kid doesn't feel too bad. Why are you smiling like that? Or you feel
talk.
So basically the ball kid fought, the ball went out. I don't know what that ball kid was thinking and just put their hands out after Bublik hit like a forehand or something. And at the same time, Felix tried to return it, but he didn't know, like, obviously he couldn't do too much because the ball kid was just right behind.
Interrupting play.
Yeah, interrupting the play and stuff. So it's funny because Bublik as well was trying to like be like, no, this is
I
not.
I want the point.
Yeah, I want the point because the umpire was like, we're just going to replay it.
No. Felix called for a video replay.
Yeah, he called for the video replay. The video replay happened. Then the umpire was like, yeah.
After review,
we're changing it up. But it's funny because the crowd started booing Felix. Felix still secured the first set. And you know, Felix, normally he's very like humble
Reserved and calm.
So it was so fun like seeing him being like, oh, you guys don't want to make noise now. Yeah, like he was like, come on. Which is very rare to see like Felix doing that. But one thing I have noticed so far this year is the confidence. And he's a little bit more open. Like, whereas before he was very much reserved. So even today, just seeing that it was actually nice. So I even tweeted on my personal account, like, oh, he's in his villain era. Not really a villain. But yeah, I hope he continues with that energy. It just brings like a different drive, like, to him and stuff. And also makes the matches more entertaining. So yeah, he won that match in 3 sets against Bublik. And even at the end, they were cool. You know, Bublik, he's not... Like, unless you're being... He doesn't take things to heart. He's just here to play, get his money, and then up to the next tournament.
He's good vibes. He's played a lot of doubles as well with Shelton.
He has, quite a few. Yeah, they've played quite a few.
I think
he's
well-liked, like, on the tour. Yeah. He's an entertainer. Like, loves throwing in the underarm serve as well. Yeah. Which I saw that a few times today.
He did that today, exactly, yeah.
But just on Felix, like you said, like, it's been a solid start to the year. He did... reached the semi-finals in Qatar as well the week before last.
Yeah.
Lost to the eventual champion, Rublev, who lost first round today, actually, to Kwantan Ellis.
I saw that, yeah.
Bit of a shock there. But Felix, he has had injury issues as well. So he injured his foot in Rotterdam.
Mm-hmm.
Had to withdraw from that match with Andrea Vasori, I think the Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a settle, I think. But yeah, he's recovered, obviously, since then, like I said, reached the semis in Qatar, now playing in Dubai. And yeah, 2 titles for the year. Like, he's just outside the top 20 at the moment. He's definitely going to get back into the top 20, I think.
Yeah,
hopefully before the French as well. So,
I mean, he's comfortable on hard court anyway. So I'm just more interested in seeing how he's going to perform when he gets to clay and grass. That's where I'm more interested, because when it comes to hardcore, I'm not too worried about Felix. He moves really well on that surface. Yeah. So
no, good to see him. Like you said, he's in Dubai now doing his thing. So good luck to him.
Mm-hmm.
Doubles now. We've got a lot of doubles winners, Lucy. Hey. So
although some tournaments are trying to, you know, act like doubles, and, you know, but again,
we'll come on to that.
Yeah.
But something we missed, actually, and I feel bad because it's my responsibility on this one. So that's like, I put my hands up. But Evan King and Christian Harrison, so they won their first ATP Tour title in Delray Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they were playing as qualifiers, but ended up basically steamrolling through the draw. That's an ATP 500 as well. So it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they ended up winning that tournament. That was King's first ever ATP Tour final in terms of doubles, because he's a doubles player, really.
Yeah.
I think Harrison had reached 2 doubles finals before Dallas, but had lost. Mm-hmm. So this was also his first title as well.
Nice.
But just an incredible, incredible story, because this is their first title together. I think King's 33... I want to make sure, actually. I don't want to...
Yeah, why are you looking for that? They're currently in Mexico. They did actually play qualifying there as well. which had passed through. And their first round is actually going to be against Ben
Stop
Shelton.
It. I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
And Rinky Hijikata. Yeah. So I was like, oh, shoot. But yeah.
Slightly annoying that they have to play each other, but
I know.
It is what it is.
I know.
But yeah, my internet's being long here.
Oh, no worries. But he's definitely, I know he's in his early 30s.
Yeah.
For sure,
and
what I remember.
I think Harrison is also a year or two younger. So, okay. But it's just nice to see guys that are like in the upper kind of echelons, in terms of age anyway.
It's
a young person sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
But shouts out to them in doing it for the 30 and overs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just a great story. Like I said, this is their first title on the ATP tour.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been like doing pretty well in terms of progressing and going deep at tournaments. So
yeah,
good for them winning in Dallas. Staying with doubles, we're getting very like it's becoming routine now.
I'm here for it. Taylor, I'm actually here for it because people like to talk down on doubles, so I'm here for it.
Taylor Townsend, a win is a win. Katerina Siniakova winning in
Dubai.
Mm-hmm. And that was on WTA 1000, so yep. Again a huge event in terms of like level.
Yeah.
Obviously not a Grand Slam, but it's literally
it's
one
still,
below,
yeah,
one
it's
below
a 1,
Grand 000, Slam.
Yeah, and it's their second title together this year.
First at WTA 1000 level as well, which is quite significant.
Mm-hmm.
Townsend is now the number two doubles player in the world, which is pretty
Love
cool.
That. Mm-hmm.
Siniakova number one.
Yeah.
Career high now for Townsend as well.
Mm-hmm.
We did say as well that she's eyeing the number one spot.
Yeah, like, she did. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she keeps winning. Who knows?
But I believe it is Katerina who's number
one,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, it's nice to see. I feel like you know they're a pair. They work well together.
I don't actually know like understand how that works. Like in terms of if you're a doubles player, like surely it should be a team that's number one, not an individual.
Yeah, but at the same, but you have to consider that some doubles players they're not.
Always play
together.
The same.
Because even last year they didn't play every match together.
Yeah.
And like they didn't team up together most tournaments. There was mainly I've noticed last year it was mainly like the higher tournaments where they actually did. So like any like 1000 tournaments, Grand Slams and so on, them type of
the
tournaments
in
time, the bigger events, yeah. And it's funny because I noticed that after Wimbledon they didn't really play together. Then they didn't really win. Then they played together, and then
because don't forget they also reached the finals at the
WTA finals. Exactly.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, Townsend now she's lost one match like all season
in doubles.
Yeah. So in doubles. Sorry. So she's basically won 9, lost 1. That one match was with Caroline Dolahide, so not with Siniakova.
Yeah. See.
And Siniakova, she's unbeaten this year in doubles. So every doubles match she's played, she's won.
So crazy.
She's just like so dominant.
Yeah.
So shouts out to them. Also in doubles, Jasmine Paolini and Sara Arni, they also picked up a doubles crown in Qatar.
Yeah.
Another WTA 1000.
Mm-hmm.
They saw off en route, they saw off Mira Andreeva and Diana Schneider again. Like it's like they always have to play each other.
Olympics,
Australia.
It was one Australia Open, that's it. Yeah.
So it's like they're just guaranteed to meet each other in the draw. Like that's just a given.
Yeah.
But yeah, Paolini and Arni, like what a team they are, man.
And it's interesting now that you said that because it means like, because normally we always think of the dominant players in singles. So now we actually have them in doubles for the women, which is pretty interesting. Yeah. And the thing is that I wish some people actually took the time to watch these matches because they're actually pretty good.
No, for real.
Like, I remember, like, that Olympic match with Paolini, Sarah, Andreeva, and so on. Like, I felt like that was, like, a really entertaining match. Or I remember there was also at the US Open last year where it was Taylor and Katerina and Asia Mohammed and I believe Heather Watson. That was entertaining as well. So yeah, it's not a thing of like we're just saying it for saying it. They're actually good doubles matches. The same way there's sometimes some of these big players on the single side, you're thinking, oh yeah, it's gonna be one of the greatest matches ever, and then you're watching and you end up taking a nap. Cough, cough. Australian Open men's final. Just saying, doubles.
But we're
going to
get onto doubles chat later on. But it's a very good point you make, Lucy. Because yeah, it's true. Like not enough eyes are on doubles. Like. As a product.
Mm.
And obviously the US Open, they are trying to change that, which we'll talk about later on.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's a good point you make. But just staying with Paolini, she did end up losing in Dubai. So she was the defending champion in Dubai, obviously winning it last year. But yeah, she lost to Yelena Ostapenko in the third round. She got a good win against Caroline Garcia.
She did,
in the second round.
Yeah,
that was because she got a first round bye, obviously being one of the top seeds.
Uh-huh.
But in that match, and obviously we did tweet about it, like she rolled her ankle.
She did. It was really bad.
Yeah, she did carry on though, but she was like, you can tell she was emotional, like she was in tears.
Yeah.
But she pushed through. And I'm hoping she's not done like major damage, which I don't think she has.
I don't think so, because she did announce that she's feeling better, and then she posted a video of her like training and stuff. And I was really surprised how well she was like running and moving, because
natural athlete.
Yeah. But I do want to ask you, like, do you think Paolini feels pressured this year, especially with the amount of points and amount of like things she has to defend this year?
It's a good question.
Like, she went big in 2024. Now it's like more eyes on her, higher rankings, defending all of these points, defending these titles.
Yeah, I think she's kind of spoken about that as well, like in terms of like, yeah, just the, there are more eyes on her now. Like obviously because she's, a top 10 player, whereas before she wasn't.
A top five, like so she was ranked number four.
This is it. So, but I think one thing about Paolini, like she's able to stay like very present and like just in the moment. And
that's true.
I think from the times we've spoken to her anyway, she's never really kind of looked too far ahead.
That's true.
It's always been about what she's doing now and just like kind of continuing to improve steadily.
Yeah.
Like, and also like not taking anything for granted as well. Like, and I think that there's a balance there with like tennis players, like in terms of, obviously you could have like aspirations and goals and ambitions, but then it's also important to, like stay present and like acknowledge where you are like right now and know that, if you want to continue, you've got to keep working. I feel like Paolini, she's a great example of that in terms of just her story. Like, obviously we've covered her for quite a while now, but like seeing her rise, like it's not been like an overnight thing.
Exactly.
Like it's been a gradual over time.
Yeah.
And like one thing I do tip my hat off to her with, obviously with the singles, but she's doing it on the doubles court as well. Like she's
true,
kind of maintaining this level in both singles and doubles. Like
that's true. Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So she deserves an enormous amount of credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad she's, it seems like she's okay in terms of the injury.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, she'll be able to like kind of put some good results together in the, what is it they call it, the Sunshine Double, Indian Wells, Miami, which is literally around the corner. So we look forward to that. So that wraps up tournament winners. We have to talk about Mikhail Yema, Lucy, and shouts out to you as well for bringing this to my attention, because I knew he was back, but when I actually went back and saw he actually played his first event in January, which was an ITF.
Was it not a Davis Cup?
No, it was a 15K event that he actually ended up winning.
Oh, okay.
And then he played Davis Cup after that.
Oh, I thought the Davis Cup was his first.
Yeah, so, but yeah, to win his first tournament back after, obviously, the suspension, which again, we'll talk about suspensions later on. Good going, because I think that was his first match since Wimbledon 2023. It's a long time.
Long time.
So to come back and like, win, obviously it's not, an ATP challenge or, ATP tour, but it's still, you're playing.
Of course, no. It's still something. I think for me, is the timing of it is just so funny how when he comes back, you have Jannik Sinner,
The news.
Do you get what I mean? It's just the timing. It's just crazy. But I'm glad. I generally, because when he said that, he was done, whatever, I actually did not think he was going to come back.
Same.
So having him back on tour. And
26
then,
now as well. So still quite young, mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's got to get the ranking back up there as well, which I'm sure he will do.
Yeah, he's playing some challenger events. I think he just lost in the challenger event in Brazzaville.
Yeah. Congo, man.
Yeah. And he's going to play the one in Rwanda, I believe, as well.
Okay.
So it looks like he's focusing on trying to get that momentum up and trying to get, his rhythm back. But either way, really, really glad that he's back. I'm I'm happy to see that. I just want him to take this year to just focus on getting that rhythm back. Find the groove again. And I'm curious also to see how like the tennis world is going to accept him back and stuff.
Because just on the Davis Cup, he played Alex Diminor, one of like, the most informed players at the moment as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he lost 7-5, 6-1 or 6-love. But I mean, to stay with Diminor, Diminor's a top 10 player.
Yeah.
And like, you basically stayed with him for a set, considering mm-hmm. you've been out for all this time.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I mean,
it's a pretty decent showing.
Yeah, so, for sure.
And like you said, like I think his career high is top 50. So he's a top player. And like, mm-hmm. I'm just, more than anything, I'm just happy to see him back.
That's it. That's what it is.
I mean, let's hope he can get some, I'm sure he will start racking up the wins on the Challenger Tour.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, get some wild cards into like some of the ATP Tour events as mm-hmm. well. So welcome back, Mikko Immer. should never have been suspended, but anyway. So yeah, let's talk about the WTA. So we've had, obviously, like we said, Qatar, Dubai,
mm-hmm.
Kind of two new winners, I'll say new winners, unexpected winners
mm-hmm.
in mm-hmm. Amanda Anisimova and Mira Andreeva.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tennis Twitter. I'm not a big fan of, shouldn't even be saying that. But
No, keep it real.
Tennis Twitter's interesting.
Say
I'll just say that.
Say it. Just know you're also talking about me because I was part of them.
I just say tennis Twitter's been interesting. But yeah, some of the talk about like the top girls, like where are they?
Are you saying it's only, do you know what? I'm going to stop you there because I don't think it's only the WTA players. I think they're doing the same with ATP. Have you seen the way they talk about Carlos? And he just won a title at Rotterdam.
I don't know. With Carlos, I feel like it's more banter. Whereas I feel with the women, it's more. And this is me as a man speaking.
Okay, you know what? You're right. That's true. That's true.
I feel like it's more malicious with the women.
That's actually true.
Like with Carlos,
true.
I feel like it's all jokey and like, yeah. do you get me?
Yep. Okay.
Like
you're
that's
right.
just how I feel. I'm sorry.
You're right.
I'm not
you're
trying
right.
to start.
No. You're actually right.
But obviously, with Coco Gauff being Blackspin, this is Blackspin Global. I'm not worried about Coco Gauff. Like, I know she lost early in both Dubai and Qatar.
Yeah.
But in terms of like where she's at right now, number 3 in the world, had a good run in Australia.
Yeah.
Like, I am not worried about Coco Gauff. And I say that all the time. I feel like I say that very often.
Yeah.
But there's no kind of reason to panic.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like, if you like we've said, if you look at the kind of winners on the tour so far this year, obviously Key's winning in Australia is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And she won in Adelaide, I think, before
then. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Iga Swiatek, she's not won a title this year yet. Elena Rybakina, obviously, yeah, she's been going through like all that stuff.
That's that.
Hasn't won a title yet. Like, so I feel like in terms of the WTA as a product, like, it's good that we have kind of new winners. And like,
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, like it's for me, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what say you?
I'm a bit of both.
Okay.
I do like the fact that we do have different winners, especially the ones that won. Again, like I said, Amanda, she's been, you know, she's dealt with injuries. She's one of those players that's always been close, and then something happened. So for her to win a 1,000 title is big.
It's huge.
Mira, I just love seeing like younger players like breaking through. So I just feel like it just brings a little bit more excitement. There was a lot of talk about her doing Wimbledon last year, so it's nice to see how she is, you know, grinding and working.
Top 10 player now
she
as
is,
well.
Which is crazy to think, like, it's insane. So that bit is exciting, but I like, again, I've said this so many times before, the problem is that we are spoiled from the players of back in the days that were dominating for 100 weeks, and that is no longer the case anymore. So I think, because if you notice, it says mainly tennis fans of like people that have been tennis fans for like years that complain about those things. And I think they don't realize that we were spoiled. Those players were out here dominating for years, we don't have that product anymore. So that transformation is kind of difficult. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing because we've got these winners, but it's just so tough to like deal with. And again, I think it's kind of hard for me to be like, oh yeah, I'm upset, because I don't mind the people who won. Maybe, I don't know, maybe with some players that I didn't really like that were winning. Not
what
like
do you, mean? You like everybody, Luis. What are you talking about?
Not like, but not a massive fan of. Let me just rephrase that. I'm not a massive fan of them. Maybe I'd be like, ah, yeah, this is crap, like everyone else. But I think it's because I'm like, you know what, I don't mind this, you know. But, and also most importantly, if it was a thing where it was only Coco, I'd have been a little bit scared because I know how the comments would have been. We all know when a black player is losing or not playing well, the comments are very different compared to the others.
Crazy.
So seeing all the big three, big four of WTA all like not playing at their best at the moment, it's like, okay, it's all of them. But at the same time, this is actually exciting because now we're getting off the Middle East, we're going to Sunshine Double. Now it's going to be even more, that means all of them are like, all right, we need to get in.
Lock in.
We need to be locked in. So I think everyone that's complaining now, the next 4 weeks, be ready. Because I generally feel like Sabalenka, Igor, Coco, Rebekina, Lord knows. But I feel like all of those players are going to bring their game, especially that Sunshine Double, you know, a lot of them, like, players put a lot more effort into those type of things. And that's another thing as well. Maybe they didn't really feel to do the most for
I hear you.
You know, because I saw some fans tweeting like, man, who cares? Only Dubai. You know, respectfully. And that's not disrespect to Dubai itself. It's just, you know, it's not like, some people might not just see it as big as like Indian Wells, Miami Open.
Well, the crowds obviously don't help. As a lack of crowds. But what one thing I've said, and like, I kind of disagree with you in terms of like how these top players haven't been playing well. I don't feel like it's them not playing well. I feel like it's the level of talent now, as in on the WTA tour, literally, Lucy, anyone can get it. And the same goes for the men. Like, we no longer have this like disparity in level of this player is so far ahead that basically on their, if they have like a little bit of an off day, they can still win a match. Obviously you do have certain moments like that and those matches do exist.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like that's a thing now. It's less common now. I feel like players are ready to pounce when there's an opportunity. And I say lesser players are ready to pounce, I'm saying, not the top players. So, but yeah, like I said, for me, it makes for an exciting...
I feel like it's a bit of two. I think some of the players are not playing at their level. Igor is not playing at her level, bro. Let's keep it.
Have you watched
an Igor match since? She is not playing.
She reached but at the same time,
like, this, and that's what I'm saying, is a bit of both. She has not been playing as she does, but then you also have like Ostapenko's one that kicked her out. Who would have thought the way Ostapenko was playing? Apparently she's been grinding like off season in the last couple of weeks.
But I don't think Swiatek's ever beaten Ostapenko.
That's true, exactly. The head to head. Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. But still, Iga normally when it comes to these high level tournaments, you know, it's different. Anyways, I already told you guys my prediction for this year is that Iga's not going to be doing as well. And it looks like my prediction is going as good as now. I'm very, very curious for clay season.
You make a good point, though, about the Sunshine Double, because I do feel like the players, they kind of take to that, or to those two events anyway. Like, it's a different kind of vibe.
Exactly.
And, like, the energy is different. Obviously, the crowd play a big part as well. So it's going to be interesting to see who ends up winning those two tournaments. But yeah, man, I'm loving it. Like, I'm loving where the WTA is at right now. And
yeah, I'm not mad at it. Yeah, I'm not mad at it. Like, we can't expect it to be like, you know, perfect all the time. At the end of the day, this is the first time in like months that we've had all of them four not, you know, winning like as much as they would or playing as far as they would and so far, like, and so on. So that's why I'm like, it's not the end of the world. Again, it goes back to what I was saying. After Australian Open, nothing makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, nothing makes
sense
at all.
Everything's like up in the air.
Exactly. So it is what it is.
Okay. Should we get into some of the news now?
Yeah.
Let's start with the Super Bowl. So Super Bowl 59. Shouts out to the Philadelphia Eagles. No, I'm joking. but really and truly, the main kind of topic or the main event was really the halftime show. Let's just be real.
That's it, really and truly.
So Kendrick Lamar did his thing. Like, I thought it was very, very good. Did you stay up for it?
I didn't because I go to the gym early morning.
Okay, no, that's fine.
I watched it first thing in the morning.
Of course you did. but yeah, it wasn't just Kendrick. Like, Serena, like kind of stole the show with the cameo.
You know what? I was kind of annoyed that I couldn't put two and two together because a couple hours before the Super Bowl, she posted a video of her running on like the actual field.
On IG.
Yeah, on IG. Okay. I just thought to myself, she's Serena Williams. Like she can do whatever the hell she wants, you know? So I didn't, but when I woke up and I saw that, I was like, wait, what? But the thing is that obviously a lot of people were talking about that because of the fact that, you know, Drake has mentioned her. I don't want to focus on that. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's unfortunate that a lot more focus was on that, which I can understand. But obviously for us tennis fans, we know why it was more of a bigger deal because she did the same thing for the Olympics at Wimbledon, well, on center court at Wimbledon. And boy, she was crucified. She was like, it was crazy. They acted like she literally put the middle finger up.
Nuts.
Like, it was insane. So for her to do that with more Grand Slams, a legend, and a mom of two, like, it's just like the best way to just say, to just, I can't even describe it. Like, honestly, that's the thing. And that's why it was so, it was really nice waking up and seeing that because it was like, wow, like I remember the time that day that happened and the next day it was on the news everywhere and people were doing them. Some people didn't even know what Crip Walk was.
It was 2012, wasn't it?
Yeah. 2012. Some people didn't even know what it was. It just went along with, like, you know, the tabloids making it seem like it was the craziest thing, like, ever to do.
Like some gang-affiliated, like...
Yeah, so for her to now do that on, like, one of, like, the most popular moment ever, like, one of the most popular sports events in the world.
It's huge.
And in America, especially... It's honestly massive.
DJ
like,
Mustard really as well nice. Came out. I said he's another tennis guy. You know he plays tennis.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah,
big tennis fan.
Yeah, he is.
I thought that was incredible. For me as well, like seeing Serena, like kind of, she's just living her best life.
Yeah,
like, I love that for her. Like, yeah, considering obviously the career she's had,
and she even said that she didn't like that. At Wimbledon, she would get like a hefty fine. I was like, boy, they would have taken that prize money back.
The reaction as well, like from the tennis kind of community, was funny because, like you said, when she did that back in 2012, it was like, what is she doing? Like in terms of the tennis kind of your tennis traditional tennis media, like what the hell? Like
and you know what I find even more funny is the fact that now they're like, oh, she did it.
This
before,
is what I'm saying. She's doing
it again. And I'm like, so where was this energy when she did it? Because some of you that are now like, oh my god, she did that Super Bowl so cool, were insulting her and, you know, doing the most. So
we posted Wimbledon saw it first because it's the
they
truth.
They did exactly, like, exactly.
Sense of court, like you said,
exactly. That was so really dope.
What a moment, man. But yeah, shouts out to Serena and K Dot. And DJ Mustard. Yannick Sinner, Lucy. Let's just go there. So Yannick Sinner now, the world number one, he's been banned for 3 months after negotiating with WADA.
No. Can you please, you did not emphasize on negotiating because I don't think you understand how insane that is. Can you please emphasize on that word one more time?
So yeah, basically he's managed to negotiate with WADA a 3-month ban that will take effect immediately, so he'll be back in time to play the Rome Masters in May. Which again is just it's great timing, like in terms of
I bet it is,
well, for him being an Italian, mm-hmm. Yeah, his first tournament back being in Rome.
Yep. People's reaction to this was actually very interesting, from fans to players. I mean, to be honest though, I'll give it to them. I actually did not think Sinner, I was joking around a lot of time, but I didn't think Sinner was actually going to get the ban.
Really?
I didn't think so, no.
I thought he was going to get a ban.
I felt like they were going to do it just for like, okay, because they knew if they were not going to give the ban, it would look really bad. Yeah. But for me, I don't see the point of giving the ban if you're then saying, oh, I'm going to come back right before Rome and I can go. Like, he's not missing any Grand Slams.
And I think that's the biggest issue.
Not one.
That's the biggest issue. Like, the fact that you're not missing any of the Grand Slams.
Nothing.
Like,
that's just... and that's why it's so funny when they said that, oh yeah, they're gonna make a decision after the Australian Open. Remember when they gave the date before? I was like, oh, that is funny. So that's what I'm saying. Everything seems so calculated. But again, that I can't believe they said that he negotiated. What is it to negotiate? What are you negotiating about? So you can allegedly cheat and then negotiate what you're going to get. So basically, Yannick Sinner entered, like, he's that guy, and said, I want this, this, that, and that. And they said, yes, okay. For what?
It's fascinating.
Because
man,
it's
it
a
really
bad
is.
Look either
it's
way.
It's fascinating.
So, you know.
And again, I've said this before as well. Like, I don't have anything against Yannick Sinner. Like, I actually like him as a player. Like, don't know him, obviously, but like, yeah.
Yeah, he thought he was funny by posting that vlog. Did you see it?
No, vlog when?
So he's the Australia. Timing of it was so funny. He literally posted he has like a YouTube channel.
Okay.
And I bet you there's no videos now. Now he's actually been banned. But yeah, he posted like a YouTube channel, like launched a YouTube channel to like, and he did like a Australian Open vlog. And he gave us a whole lot of nothing. Like, I thought I was going to see a little bit more of Yannick Sinner and who he is and whatnot, but nothing. Like, what he gave us is what the ATP tour could have done by themselves by just walking around with him on the grounds. Like, for example, one day he was like, yeah, that tomorrow is a day off. And then he just skipped to day three. What are you doing on your day off, bro? Are you eating pizza? Are you putting more of that cream?
Maybe it's a private, listen.
Like, what are you doing?
Lucy, relax.
No, but it's true. These are the type of things that people want to know. Like, at the end of the day, but he's given us absolutely nothing.
He's a private guy. Like, I don't know.
You
like,
can be private, but give us... But this is... See, no, Eugene, I'm not accepting that. This is the problem with tennis today. We don't bloody know these people. And at the end of the day, whether we like it or not, they are the product of the sport. Meaning, we need you to literally push this sport.
Help sell it. Yeah.
It's help sell it. Mm. No one, let me not say no one, but people who are casual like fans, for example, I know more people that know Alcaraz than Sinner. Do you get what I mean? Because Alcaraz is out there. You know, yeah, at least you show a little bit of his drip, take his pictures, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's all of, and his tennis is actually entertaining for those who are casual fans. Us proper fans were aware of how great Sinner is, but I think it's very hard to get people who don't watch tennis as much to watch Sinner, because from the outside you're thinking, what was he doing? But then you have to really be deep into the match to be like, oh shoot, he's actually a very smart player and really good on the court. But either way, I think my biggest problem with all of this ban as well is the people that keep on saying, oh yeah, I hope he puts his heads up high. Oh yeah, Sinner's not that type of guy. What does a cheater look like? Like, I think people are forgetting, when you're cheating, the person's not supposed to get caught. So I don't get how everyone is like, oh no, he doesn't look like the type to cheat. What does a cheater look like then? You tell me. What does a cheater look like?
That's a good question.
I hate it when they say it. They're like, oh yeah, it's not the type to cheat and blah, 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 blah. But you don't know. But is it?
I think the cheating like he was found to, there was like no wrongdoing in terms of, put this cream on himself. Like, it was administered by accident.
Okay.
And another thing too, and I found the player's reaction has been the most interesting thing, because it's been like across the board from like lower ranked players to like the top players. Novak said some things which I was like, oh damn, Novak, like you're pissed off. Because one thing he said was something about, oh, like if you look at his team, a lot of those guys are still employed. Like, they're still working.
I think he only got rid of one.
The actual masseuse,
yeah. I think only one. Yeah.
But it's like, oh yeah, no, but it's like, all the other guys, they're still basically there. They're still working on tour. I was like, wow, that's interesting.
But of course, I think a lot more players were pissed off after they found out that he negotiated his ban. You can't do that. I actually wish he'd never told us that. I'm not going to lie. Because that's actually disrespectful. But
I feel like in terms of like the way kind of these cases are kind of handled in the future, I do feel like there's going to be change in terms of like, yeah, the way things are maybe reported, and also...
I hope so.
Yeah, like just for me, there needs to be more fairness across the board, because I don't feel like
there's... Exactly, that's the issue.
It's not an equal playing field at all, depending on like where you are in the rankings and like... how much access you have in terms of financial kind of stability. And like, obviously, Yannick being a millionaire, he's able to afford, you know, top, like...
He can afford not to play for 3 months.
And exactly. Yeah. Like, so... Sad. It's sad. And it's not
sad
a good
for
look.
The sport.
It's not a good look for the... Exactly. It's not a good look for the sport, mainly.
Well, thoughts and prayers, Yannick. Enjoy
but
your 3 months
listen,
off.
I'm sure he's enjoying his off time. I think he's in... Italy now. I think Gucci, is it Fashion Week? Italian Fashion Week, I think?
I have no idea, bro. Can't tell you. Paris? Oh, Paris Fashion Week. Is it? Is it Italian?
I'm pretty sure he's in Italy. I saw.
Well, I know he's vibing. He's still got his millions Gucci, and he's chilling. I'm very interested to see how he's going to be when he's back. Do you think it's going to take him some time, or do you think it's going to like?
I think he'll be back like he never left. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
More kind of news now. So, Elena Rybakina, who we've spoken about briefly. So her former coach Stefano Vukov, he has been banned from the WTA tour following an independent investigation into his behavior towards the player.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to stop you there. I do want to say that I did, when we spoke about this in January, I was one of those people that was a bit 50-50 about
those
thing, and I did say that if the reports come back that he actually is messed up, then this guy has to go.
Throw the book.
Indeed. And yeah, I really hope Elena's like in a, well, I hope she'll be in a good 100%. Space soon. Yeah.
So just to read the WTA statement. So to protect the confidentiality and integrity of the investigation and its findings, the WTA will not provide further details. We remain committed to ensuring that all matters are handled in a fair and objective manner in accordance with the WTA code of conduct. They actually didn't kind of give details into like the code of conduct or the alleged kind of
they code didn't
he broke
yeah
but the but fact the, that the investigation has taken place and has finished, clearly there's like wrongdoing on his part.
So the thing is, the WTA themselves didn't, but the Athletic for example, they did like a full-on like they shared all of like the details. Not all, but like the details that were mainly
as in the Athletic, platform. Oh, really?
Yeah. Like it's bad.
Yeah.
Like it's bad. Like obviously, I'm not gonna list like all of the stuff, but like he was basically allegedly like accused of mentally abusing her as well, making her cry, calling her like unpleasant names, and harassing her in New York. And that was why he was been dismissed after like the US Open. Mm. And then that's when it was also revealed that he and Rebecca Knott actually had a romantic relationship. They shared a hotel together in Melbourne, which is crazy.
As in this year?
Yeah.
Even though he was banned from the grounds.
Yeah, banned from the grounds. And the thing is as well, apparently it wasn't even just the WTA that were concerned. It was apparently Rybakina herself was complained.
Yeah.
And it was also information supplied by her family, friends, and other people. I did see something about her family
today,
it.
Actually.
I think her mom wrote something towards like the coach and stuff. But I think what's sad is that she's still trying to defend the situation. So apparently he's now been hired as an agent for her. I don't know if that is true or not, and I don't think that will even be allowed. I think she's basically trying to find a way to... I'm pretty sure that he still has contact with her, so she'll be practicing. He'll probably be calling her, telling her do this and do that, but obviously that's not going to work.
It's very like manipulative, and it's not nice. It's not good.
But I think for me, it's just so unfortunate because she's such a talented player. She literally... Oh my gosh, it hurts me every time thinking that she literally had one of the top tennis players, ex-coaches in her team. Mm. Like, we were so excited. Even people who are not Rybakina fans like that were so excited for 2025 when it was announced that she was working with Govan. Like, it was just like, okay, yeah, this is going to be it. I already thought, yeah, Wimbledon final, we're going to see you there 100%. With that serve, that is it. And it's just gone. Yeah, no, all of that is just sad. Gone. So... I hope she gets that sorted quick, man, because we need... I think she also got rid of... Or maybe someone from her team either left or she got rid of them.
Yeah, her physio.
Yeah. So it's like... It seems like everyone around her is kind of drifting away. And she even... And it's funny because she actually did say at a press conference that she doesn't feel supported by like the WTA players. And
I think she said the tour haven't reached out to like see how she...
Yeah, but like the players as well.
Okay.
She was referring to like the players as well. And I don't think she's realizing that it's hard to be there for you when there's probably these people obviously if the WTA investigates all of that and pulls out all that information, they're obviously going to believe that and just feel like, whoa, okay. But I can't help you if you don't want to help yourself. Like you want to keep on having this man around. yeah, I don't respect or condone any of that. So of course I'm going to, you know, and she was already a very reserved girl. Mm. So I can't even imagine what it's like now. So I just hope that soon she just, you know, gets better, moves that man away from her and just focus on her tennis, because this is like, you're missing opportunity. Like, she already, last year was not the best year for her. She was up and down, and I'm pretty sure it's because of the situation. We can't bring that over 2025, yeah. Bro. Like, that's actually ridiculous.
Definitely, like, thoughts kind of with Rebecca, definitely. I feel like a lot of people are going to be keeping an eye on her, like, in general.
Of course.
Like, so, yeah, we wish her well. Let's stay with, like, kind of disturbing news, actually, Lucy. So, in Dubai, some disturbing scenes
during
Emma Raducanu's match against Karolina Muchova.
Yeah.
Again, I was watching this match. It was an evening for us over in the UK. But, yeah, early on, Raducanu, like, she's in tears, like, after, like, two or three games.
And, she was shaking.
Hides behind the umpire's chair, like, says something to the umpire. It basically later on came out that a stalker was basically watching her match. And this stalker, handed her a letter the day before the match. And it turns out or transpires that he's literally been following her for the whole year.
No, but even before that, I think like it's been 2 years he's been following her apparently.
No. So she's actually, there was a stalker in the UK.
She had different
exactly.
ones. Oh, I thought it was the same
and he,
one.
He'd like gone through like, I think he literally went for court and everything.
Oh,
like, and that
shoot.
Was handled
okay.
like legally.
Oh, wow.
This is a different one.
Oh, wow.
So this guy, he's been traveling or been basically following her since the start of the year.
Oh.
I think Australia, now the Middle East.
Yeah.
But the WTA, they've basically banned him from WTA events pending
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
threat assessment that they've said.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what that means. But just sadly, Lucy, like this kind of thing does happen quite a lot. Like with women athletes, not just in tennis, but like in general, like across all sports.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's something that should be highlighted more mm-hmm. and just
mm-hmm.
obviously it's down to the player to kind of speak about it to the level that they're comfortable speaking about it.
Of course, yeah.
Like, but yeah, it's something that does need to be acknowledged because you do have, unfortunately, a lot of weirdos out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to add.
No, it's pretty sad, but I'm just glad that the WTA like acted very promptly.
Yeah, quick.
I think it's been also announced that she's getting extra security in Indian Wells. I don't know if that's legit or not, but I remember reading that somewhere. So it's nice seeing that the other tournaments are taking in that actions and trying to like protect her. But I can't even imagine, especially in today's, like, it's crazy. I bet you someone can know exactly where this studio is. Like,
don't.
No, but
no,
we're just,
it's the truth.
That's how mm-hmm. mad people are today. Like, mm. honestly speaking. So I can't imagine how she is. And the thing is, Emma's not really the type to post that crazy anyways. And that's why you see a lot of the players as well. They tend to post after they leave or certain stuff.
Yeah.
Like, even if they're doing ads for like a hotel, it's after they leave, they'll post the pictures. So.
Also as well, like this is probably a different kind of conversation for another day, but I feel like the media have a massive responsibility, Lucy. And I feel the media are partly responsible for this kind of obsession with Raducanu, because since she won that US Open, like the coverage on her,
it's been insane.
It's been suffocating. Like,
it's
literally
been so
like
bad.
From the event she's playing, the event she's not playing,
oh.
her sponsorship deals, like it's just too much.
I told you, she's better than me. I always said it. If I was her, I'd just be like, everyone shut up.
It's too much. But shouts out to Raducanu, man. And yeah, hopefully she'll be okay in terms of like competing for
mm-hmm.
the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The doubles news, quickly, before we wrap up.
Boy.
We touched on it. So the US Open, this got so much, I say, backlash.
Rightfully so.
Really?
I'm
interested to hear your
views,
actually.
So,
yeah, mixed doubles won't kind of exist as it used to at the US Open this year. So this year it will take place during Fan Week, which is the week before the tournament starts proper.
Yeah.
And the official line from the US Open or the USTA, it's basically to elevate focus on mixed doubles.
Sure.
which I kind of understand, Lucy. I'm not going to lie to you.
What is...
So the player field will be 16 teams. Mm-hmm. 8 teams will earn direct entry.
Sorry, decrease from 32, mind you, but carry on.
I like that little... I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, 16 teams, 8 teams earn direct entry based on their combined singles rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the key there being singles. Like, so they're trying to attract more singles players.
Why?
Lucy, because they want to draw more eyes and attention to the to mixed doubles. Like it makes sense. So do that
with the mixed doubles or the doubles players. Because another thing that they're doing, for example, they're increasing the prize money by 200,000K. Okay, you're saying that, but why couldn't they do that for the way I see it? If you were able to do that right now with these single players who can afford the stuff, that means you could have done it with doubles. They're also doing something different by making sure that they play on the main courts, such as Arthur Ashe and so on.
Yeah,
that means you could have done that before. They are also making sure that's going to be shown on TV. That also shows that you could have done that before. So Eugene, I'm sorry. At the end of the day, you have some single players who play doubles. People are still not tuning in. So what I'm saying is everything that they're doing now, they could have done it before. This literally takes away the money and opportunity from the doubles players, because there's some doubles players, they are double specialists, and that's fine, in my opinion. So you're taking that shine away. So someone who's being greedy, that's already having, let's say, I don't want to say a player's name, but I don't know, I'm mentioning him because he was excited about it. Taylor Fritz.
Oh yeah, and Jessica Pegula, they were both mentioned in they both contribute to the press release, yeah.
Exactly, so they were happy about Pegula, mind you, who already comes from money, respectfully. So if you already
No, that's not fair, Lucy.
I said respectfully.
But Pegula, she also plays, I said respectfully. She's also
She's played doubles. Exactly. I totally get it, but I'm sorry. If you are already top ranked with money, and you're out here talking, say, doing press conferences, like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about the mixed doubles, where you're getting more money and more coverage. It's honestly unfair. I just feel like, you have people like Sarah Arani, who won mixed doubles last year, who's like, that is complete BS.
Basically, if you're going by this new, they can't defend their title, basically.
They can't.
They're not.
They can't at all. At the end of the day, US Open is not doing this to shine doubles. They're doing this because they want the cash. You would hope. They want your money during fan week.
You would hope.
They want you to buy, what's it called again?
Honey Deuce.
You would hope. That's like $25. That's what they want. They don't care about them doubles players, man.
But you would hope Iranian Vavasori, being defending champions, they would get a wild card, surely.
Surely. Probably they will, but at the end of the day, we should not be having a discussion. This discussion should be happening, and it should be saying, hey, we're putting more money for the mixed doubles, we're moving it here, we're putting it on TV, and those who are already playing well in mixed doubles, we're putting it in. And what I'm scared of is that if it works out well, all these other...
You know it's going to happen. And the thing is, in America, whenever something happens in America first, it kind of translates later on across the
board. The luck is that I think only Australian Open has fan week. I don't think Wimbledon doesn't have fan week.
No, but I'm saying as in this mixed doubles kind of format.
Yeah.
I think most Grand Slams are going to follow suit.
I hope not.
I feel like that's going to be the case.
I hope not.
So, yeah.
I'm not really here for it, but we'll see. We'll be there anyway, so we'll see how it goes.
I want to say that wraps up, Lucy. We do have, obviously, events happening this week. We did touch on, so Mexico, WTA 500, Sloane Stephens, she's in Mexico, Merida, playing singles and doubles. Acapulco, again, we've been posting about Acapulco. Ben Shelton's there, the fifth seed.
Jello lost today.
He did. Was watching that early this morning.
Tommy Paul,
the third seed. Good match, actually.
Yeah.
6-2, 6-2. Wasn't actually that straightforward for Paul, but he did play well.
Mm-hmm.
Francis Tiafoe, he's also the seventh seed. Dubai, we've got Arthur Fils. He did lose today to Nuno Borges. Felix got the win, like we said, against Bublik.
Giovanni
Pecci Pericard, he did win yesterday against Gigi Zheng. Gael Monfils currently playing now as we record. I don't know what the score is. Playing against Matteo Berrettini.
He lost the first set.
Okay. So we've got basically all those events happening this week. Obviously Indian Wells next week.
Next week. So with no Venus Williams, by the way.
Oh yeah, that was shouts out to Tennis Weekly. Is it Tennis Weekly podcast?
Yeah, for breaking
that story.
Yeah.
Weird. But yeah, we've got some exciting things happening for Indian Wells, which we'll be announcing later.
Sure.
But yeah, guys, that wraps up this episode. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for tapping in. And until, I guess, Indian Wells.
Yep.
We'll see you next time.